Good morning. Thank you for bearing with me as I'll be preaching in English today. Thank you for having me back with you guys to share the Word of God with you this morning. Let's pray before we get into the passage today. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us this morning. We ask that you encourage us through your Word, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would bring to light anything that we need to hear. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our passage today is from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Thank you, brother, for reading that for us. This passage comes from a series of conversations that Jesus had with his disciples. It was the night that he was betrayed and arrested. Now, he knows this, and so this time that he spends with his disciples is a personal time with him where he wants to tell his disciples a lot of very important things. And so we're looking at these important things that he's telling his disciples in this passage. Now, I was doing some renovations around the house a while ago, and as you know, if you are fixing things around the house, you'll need tools. And some of these tools, depending on your project, can be very scary tools. I was using a circular saw to cut up some wood, and if you don't know what a circular saw is, it is basically a round metal blade attached to a motor, and it spins very fast. This thing is very loud, so when you turn it on, you'll need to wear hearing protection. So I was cutting large chunks of wood with that circular saw, and it cuts through wood like butter. I was cutting up pieces of wood, and all of a sudden, it stops. And so what happened was I had unknowingly cut through the power cord. And so no more power, no more motor. And at that moment, all the power that it was in that motor had stopped working because I was no longer connected to the outlet. And the outlet, which was connecting me to the regional power grid. And so no matter the power that's in that motor or how sharp that spinning blade is, it's basically useless without power. And while it is plugged into the wall socket, I have access to electricity, the power source. But without that source of electricity, I have no more power to use this tool. Because no matter how powerful this tool is, if I have no source of electricity, it is useless. And just like my circular saw is useless without a power source, we as Christians must also be connected to our power source if we want to thrive in our walk with Christ. I think the message of today's passage is probably very familiar to all of you. We know that living the Christian life is one of dependence. But I think it's something that bears reminders. We have to remind ourselves of this often. Because very often when we are going through life, when life is going well, we forget that Christian living is one of dependence. We start to think that we can do things by ourselves. And so the main point of the passage today that I want to bring is very simple. Abide in Jesus. Abide in Jesus. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is the word abide. It's not a word that we use a lot. And what does this word mean? It comes up here in the Greek as the word meno. Here are some examples of where it is actually used by John as he writes in his gospel. So if you look at John chapter 8, verses 35, he uses it as to mean the word remain. The slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son remains forever. So that's an example from John chapter 8. John chapter 1, he uses it to mean stay. John chapter 1, verses 38, when Jesus turned around and saw them following him, he said to them, "What do you want?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" That word meno comes up. In John chapter 14, John uses it to mean the word dwell. John 14, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you, that word meno again, and will be with you. And so we have these examples of this word meno being used. This word, now looking at all these passages, carries a sense of belonging, and to a certain extent, comfort and dependence. Some of you have pets at home. I personally don't have any pets, but I know some of you like to keep dogs at home. If your pet dog lives with you, he is dependent on you. Sometimes it will go out and play, but home is wherever you are. You are the dog's master, and the dog lives with you. In that sense, the dog depends on you. The dog abides with you. Outside of you, the dog is not cannot sustain himself. And so that's kind of the idea of the word abide. Now here's the question. Why should I abide in Jesus? And I think this passage gives us a few reasons that I want to cover here in today's sermon. The first reason here is for nutrients, for nutrition. Look at verses 4 and verse 6. It says that the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. And it says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. If we are not being nourished, there is no growth. And as Christians, we are called to growth and sanctification. Sanctification meaning being made more and more into the image of Christ. But this is not something that we can do ourselves. Sanctification is not a simple self-help or self-improvement program. You cannot make yourself into the image of Christ by doing more, attending more church events, by volunteering with more Christian projects, by following more religious rules. Such things do not lead to sanctification, but rather it leads to a life like a Pharisee. People who know about God, but do not know God. In order to really know God, we must be receiving from the vine. And the danger is that if we are not receiving from the vine, we are detached from the vine. And if we remain detached from the vine, we are dead and withering. Look at verse 6. Jesus compares a life lived independent from him to a branch that withers and is thrown away. This is not to say that God will throw away the Christians that aren't bearing fruit, but it is to emphasize that the expected impact of a life that is lived away from Jesus, from dependence upon Jesus, the expectation is that it's the same as a branch that is withered and burned. That life is not going to have impact. And so we need nourishment. We need to stay connected to the vine. The second reason that we want to abide in Jesus is we want to bear fruit. Look at verses 1 into 2 and verses 7 to 8. There's an expectation in the language here that believers bear fruit. What does this fruit look like? The easiest reference is Galatians verses 5, verses 22 and 23. Many of you may have memorized this. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These things should show up in increasing quantities in your life as you walk with Christ. If you look at your life today, you should expect more of these in your life than if you compare your life 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And so in order to bear that fruit, we must be connected with Jesus. Now, I want to address the idea of pruning. It was mentioned in verse 2 that the gardener prunes those branches. In gardening, pruning is cutting and removing away some branch to promote growth in the plant. I'm not into gardening myself. In fact, when I was growing up, we tried to plant things at home, but we would always kill them. In fact, it got so bad that we were a little bit like, should we even try planting anything? We even killed a cactus before. Cactus does not need a lot of water. We drowned the cactus. The point is, I'm not very knowledgeable in the area of gardening, and so I had to look up this process of pruning. What does it mean? Well, basically, when you have a fruit tree or fruit plant, you have to prune the plant. You have to cut off some parts of the tree in order that it will bear more fruit and it'll bear healthy fruit. Basically, you cut off little, strategically cut off branches so that it grows better. You'll remove the branches that are growing downwards, you remove the branches that are growing inward, you remove branches that are too tall or branches that are split off, branches that will cast too much shade on the plant, you're gonna cut those off too. You remove a lot of branches, basically. It's almost like you're killing the tree. But you remove a lot of branches, even though they might not be dead branches or rotting branches, but you remove all those parts so that the remaining branches bear more fruit. Because if you don't remove those branches, they take away the nutrients from those fruit-bearing branches. Now, sometimes God needs to remove things in our lives in order that we can grow other things. As the gardener, he may take away some things that we hold very dear. It might not be things that are evil. It might even be things that are normally helpful to us, but they might be things that distract us and draw our attention and our energies away from producing fruit in our life. When we abide in Jesus, God the gardener will prune away things in our lives in order that we bear more fruit. What is God trying to prune away in your life today? And are we allowing him to take those things away in order that we might bear more fruit? So we've talked about that we should abide in Jesus, and we've given you some reasons. Well, what does that look like, practically speaking? How do I abide in Jesus? Well, let's look at verses 9 through 10. First, we should accept the love of God in our lives. If you have not experienced and received the love of God in your life, you cannot pour into others. If you are not dependent upon God's unfailing love in your life, any love that you give out to others is going to be it'll run dry and it'll be conditional. You can't give out a love that you have not received. And so keep going back to God to remind yourself of his love. Accept the love and the grace that he has poured out upon you. Think about it. Talk to others about it. Accept the love of God in your life. Second thing is to keep his commandments. Now, it mentions in the passage, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This isn't just the Ten Commandments. It does include the Ten Commandments, but when Jesus is talking about keep my commandments, what commandments is he specifically referring to? Now, all we have to do is keep reading. We stopped at verse 11. Now read verse 12. Jesus specifies in verse 12 what the commandment is. Love one another. This command is the most important witness to the world that we are followers of Jesus Christ. When the world sees that we, as a church, love one another, even though we might strongly disagree on politics, even though we might strongly have very different communication styles, even though sometimes we actually hurt one another. But even though we hurt one another, we still commit to loving one another and forgiving one another. The world would simply split up and walk away after all these problems. But that is not what God calls us to do. God calls us to love one another because we are one body in Christ. And that's what Jesus means when he says, "Keep my commandments." And so practically speaking, how can we love one another today? I want to encourage you to think about that question and look at people in your life and say, how can I show the love of Jesus to them? Now this brings up the question, what if I am not abiding in Jesus? How do I know if not I am not abiding in Jesus? Are there signs? I would say, yes, there are signs. And if we don't, I don't want you to start pointing out other people like, oh, they're not abiding in Jesus because I see these signs in their lives. But I want to use this question to examine our own lives first, ask ourselves these questions first. And so what are some of the signs that I'm not abiding in Jesus? First would be that there is no love. There is no joy. There is that the fruits of the Spirit that we talked about, that's not in my life. There is no fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life. If the thought of God's grace poured out on you, the death of Jesus on your behalf, if that does not stir you to love him more, if you are no longer passionate about the things that God cares about, but instead of fruit of the Spirit, you see more frequently anger, jealousy, maybe immorality, impurity, division, strife. All these things are from Galatians chapter 5, that same chapter we read from, that are the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. If you're seeing these things in your life, perhaps you have not been abiding in Jesus. If you are to abide in Jesus, there will be signs in your life that that is happening. Now, I want you to imagine with me, let's say you went out to work in the morning, and after you left, for some reason, someone decided they're going to move an elephant into your bedroom. I don't know how they bring it in. Maybe they bring it in through the front door. Maybe they had to take apart a wall in order to move it in through the side. Maybe they bring it into your room, and then they leave it there for the day. And right before you come home from work, they decide to move the elephant back out of the house. And so they'll lead the elephant back out of the house, maybe down the stairs. Maybe they have to take apart another wall to get it out. And then they put your house back together. Now, I can guarantee you, as soon as you walk into your room, you're going to know that something big was there. You're immediately going to know you might not know it's an elephant, but you'll know something big was there. Something changed in your room. The elephant is going to leave a smell. It's going to have knocked things over while it was sitting in your room. They would have to have destroyed part of your wall or your window to get the elephant into your house. So even though you did not physically see the elephant sitting in your bedroom, you are 100% sure that something was there. Because something as big as an elephant will leave evidence that it was there. And so it is with our lives. Something as big and powerful as the presence of Jesus in our lives must leave an impact. No matter if you intend for it to happen or not, if something as powerful as the power of Jesus is in your life, things will change. There's no way you can expect Jesus to come into your life and have zero impact. And so the question is there evidence in your life that Jesus has been there? Has Jesus left an impact on your life? Now, some of you might be asking yourself after these questions, say, like, actually, I've asked myself these questions. And I don't think I'm abiding in Jesus right now. But I want to. I don't have evidence in my life that the fruits of the Spirit are showing up, that I have the fingerprints of Jesus on my life. I'm a follower of Jesus, but perhaps I have strayed away in the past years, months. What do I want to do if I want to get back to that place where I am abiding in Jesus? If you are here in that spot and you are looking and saying, I want to go back to that place where I'm abiding in Jesus again, I want to encourage you that that's a good thought, and that it's good that you recognize that. And how do we get back there is I want to bring us back up to the previous point. If you are here, go back to the previous point. How do we abide in Jesus? Accept the love of God. And then keep his commandments. Return to the things that you used to do when you were passionate for Christ. Remind yourself of the love of God that he has for you. Talk to people, have them encourage you in those aspects. Go do the things that you used to do when you first experienced the love of God in your life and the passion that you had for him. Rediscover those things. Abiding in Jesus is a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong process. There may be times when we wander off, and maybe there's times where we're going to get distracted. But what matters is that we frequently check where we are in relation to Christ. We frequently come back to remind ourselves of these things. Because a powerful witness, a God-honoring life, is not possible if we are not abiding in Jesus. And we want to be a church, we want to be a community, a couple, a person that is able to share that love of Jesus with others. And so as we think about our weeks, as we think about when we go back to work, when we go back to our families, think about the ways that we can share that love of Jesus with others, but think about how we can abide in Christ this week. Let's close this in a prayer. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have sent him to die for us, even as we look towards Easter, even as we look towards remembering the sacrifice of Jesus. We just pray that you would be reminding us of these things. Help us to experience your love. Help us to accept your love. And help us to, having seen your love demonstrated to us, to keep your commandments and to love one another and to share that love with others. Pray that as we seek to abide in you, that you would grow fruit in our lives, and that if we are in a place where we need to come back to you, you would teach us to repent. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the gift of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.